From Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, we're reading God's word this morning. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. May God bless the reading and the hearing of his precious and eternal word. And it may seem to you that scripture way over in Philippians, how on earth could that be relevant to a Christmas message here in America today? Well, first of all, let me say this. This passage of scripture happens to be a part of a hymn that was sung in the early church. I would just love to hear the music that went with it. I have no idea what the music would have been like. I've thought about the things that they had to play. They had percussion instruments, no organs, no pianos, maybe a flute. Certainly some kind of a drum, some kind of a stringed instrument like a lyre or a harp or something like that maybe. But I don't know what it sounded like, but I know what the theology of the song was like. And by the way, it's important what you say in music. It's important what you say in a song, because people learn lessons from the songs you sing. And if a man or a woman, boy or girl, comes into the congregation of the people of God, and we're singing a song that expresses false doctrine, they may just carry that away as the gospel. Because very often it's easier for people to hear music than it is for them to hear a sermon. It's important that what we sing portrays the correctness of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this part of a hymn from the early church talks about a God, and we used to have an old hymn that said, out of the ivory palaces and into this world of care. My brothers and sisters, that's exactly the gospel. God on the throne in glory. I don't know how God worked that out. God being one God, being Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I don't know how he worked all that out. I'm not man enough or smart enough or stupid enough to say I understand how great and wonderful and marvelous that God is. But I know that the great King of the universe in some way sent his son down to this earth to be born of a virgin. And I have to tell you, I don't believe you can go to heaven if you don't believe Mary was a virgin. I believe you must believe the virgin birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Piddle on these modernists who don't think things like that happened. I believe what the Word of God says, that Mary was a virgin. And it would be tremendous to think, what if, impossible of course, I guess, since she's in her 90s, but if Queen Elizabeth were having a child, let's suppose she's younger, because I can remember when she was queen and having a child or two. And as we look at that, we think about how it's been and just her children having a child. They have a presentation. They walk out on a balcony. Trumpets sound. Bands play. Soldiers march. Guns discharge. Cannons are sent off. Announcements are sent out all over the land to everybody. When there is a royal birth, It is unbelievable how much money and time and effort they spend to announce it to the world. Well, this is the kind of stuff that fairy tales are made out of. This is the kind of stuff that Hallmark is getting rich portraying, because people like me, who are incurable romantics, are so glad to sit and watch all the people come out right. Don't you like it when everybody in Hallmark, the right person marries the right person at the right time, and all of the things that weren't supposed to happen don't happen, and all the things that should have happened do happen? Oh my, I wish I could infect the whole society with that. Wouldn't that be just tremendous? Well, it is the fairy tale thing. It's what Cinderella is all about. Cinderella is about a poor girl who lived in the ash heap and was abused. And as she grew up, opportunity came for her to become the queen, the princess, the married to the man who would become king and who was the king. Those are the kind of things that we talk about. You know, once upon a time it happened and they lived happily ever after. This is the thing that we hold dear, and we imagine those wonderful things in our hearts. And as we look at that and as we talk about that, then we're talking about the birth of a king. We're talking about a royal birth, the great God of the whole universe, who created everything, who made everything, who spoke everything into existence, including angels and principalities and powers. The God who made mountains and streams and creeks and rivers, and the God who made all the microscopic world. I'm amazed at the universe. I love to go out at night when there's no moon shining. I like a moonlit night, but I like to go out when there's no moon shining and all the sky is dark, and I look out on that velvet of blackness of the night, Earl, and I can see all those stars, and I'm aware that some of the light is already gone out from some of those stars because it has traveled so many trillions of miles to get here. What marvelous things. And I look at all of that, and then I look under a microscope and I see an entirely different world, another world that's microscopic, that's just as stupendous, just as unable to explain as the one out there. And over and over, I can take a flower and take it apart and look at all of the parts of the flower that one day makes a fruit. I look at all the things that's growing, and then the wonder of wonders that a person like me and Fern could have a grandson like Grant, or like those young men back there that play music. I mean, wonder of wonders that we can pass on our life force to another generation. It's just tremendous. But think about it, the God of all of that, the God who created all of that out there and all of that down here, the God who made everything in heaven and earth, is going to have a child, a son. Unto us a child is born, the prophet had said. Unto us the son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his peace and of his government, there shall be no end. My friend, that God is having a child. That God is sending his son to this world on the most important mission that anybody has ever left heaven on. No one, Gabriel, the great angel of messages, has never been entrusted till now with a message as great as this. Michael, the great warring angel, the general of God's armies, the leader of the host of heaven, as he marches out of heaven with the armies of the angels, millions, perhaps billions, at his beck and call, my friend, has never been entrusted at all with what is about to happen in the earth. What's about to happen is that the mighty God of the universe that created everything is about to step off of the throne of glory, walk down the parapets of heaven and step through the pearly gates, walk down across the Milky Way from this earth, and infuse himself in some mysterious, wonderful, glorious way in the womb of a virgin girl, 16 years old. And the mighty God of heaven, the mighty God of the universe, becomes a human being. The Word, the Scripture said, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And my friend, this is not a fairy tale. This is for real. This really happened. Hallelujah. This is not something we made up to make a sweet movie. This is not something we made up to make a fairy tale book. This, my friend, is the great mystery of the whole universe, that God was manifested in the flesh, that God became a man, not came into man, but became a man. What joy, what must be going on, and everything in heaven. I can't imagine the angels, Gabriel, Michael, and whoever all the other host of heaven is. I can't imagine on that day when God pulls back the curtain on the plan of salvation and God steps off of the throne and leaves behind His divine nature, leaves behind the powers of His throne and steps down to this earth into the embryo in the Virgin Mary's womb. Oh, my friend, what a wonderful, marvelous thing that must have been. How great that must have been when the mighty God crossed the divide of the universe and stepped down into this planet, and God became a man, and man became one with God. Do you know that's where the word atonement came from? A-T, at, O-N-E, one. He is at one with man. God has been separated through the ages because of the sin that came from Adam and Eve and from the devil himself. God has been separated by all the rebellion and things that went on with man. And then, my friend, God came to make peace. We wouldn't make peace with God, so God has come to make peace with us. No wonder the angel said, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let there be peace and goodwill among all men." My brothers and sisters, if you were going to send your son into the world, where would you send him? And if you were the mighty God, if you were the royal king of the universe, where would you send your son if he had to come into the world? Well, there's no doubt I would look for some great mansion with marble floors and tremendous gardens all around it. I would look for a place that was spotless and a place that was spectacular. And I would have it surrounded with servants, and I would have all these wonderful things going on for him. But when God sent his son, and when God came to this earth as a human being in the person of the Son of God, my friend, he came for real as one of us, not as one of them. You see, folks, we're sitting on the outside looking up at the palace, and we're talking about them. When we talk about Queen Elizabeth and Prince Philip and all those people, we're talking about them. They're not in our world, are they? I don't mean any disrespect to the Queen of England. I think it's marvelous she's lived so long and had such a good reign. And I'm glad for her great-grandmother Victoria and all of that. But my friend, I have to tell you something. I have to tell you, God did not send his son to Buckingham Palace. God did not send his son to some place like that. God did not send his son to Queen Victoria or to Queen Elizabeth or to anyone else. God sent his son to a teenager. Don't you throw off on teenagers. How would you dare? I remember what it was to be a teenager, and anybody that's a grown person has been a teenager. I mean, that's it. So why would you throw off on teenagers? Don't you throw off on teenagers. Let me tell you, it was a teenager that God chose to carry his son. He didn't choose some old lady who was the Queen of England. My friend, he chose a 15 or 16-year-old girl who was a virgin. And he came into her uterus and he lived within her and he was born as a human baby. And my friend, he came as a human baby. And listen, my friend, he didn't come to the high spires of Jerusalem or to the powerful forums of Rome or to the Acropolis of Greece. But my friend, he came to a dusty little town called Nazareth in the north of Palestine above the Sea of Galilee, little town on the crossroads of the world where the north and south trade and the east and west trade came and went through, little dusty town that had Roman soldiers and people were speaking all kinds of language and camel drivers were cursing at the camels and the slaves were being routed through the town and all the horrible things that were going on. In that dusty little town, God, the Holy Ghost, came down from heaven and came into the womb of the Virgin, my friend, and brought Christ to this world. And let me tell you, my friend, when he came into this world in Mary, she went to her cousin and she said, essentially, I can't believe what the Lord's done for me. I am his handmaiden. Look what he has done to those that are humble. Look what he has done to those who are of low estate. Look what he has done to those who are not the queens and kings of this world, but he's come into us. And my friend, in that dusty little Nazareth town, the incarnation of divine power came down from heaven and came into the Virgin Mary. Yes, my friend, she traveled down through the country to Bethlehem. God moved everything in the Roman Empire to be sure that his son would be born where he wanted him to be. He said, yeah, they had to get out of that dirty little town and get into a place that had something for him, get into a place that was fit for a king. Oh yes, my friend, it was fit for a king, all right. He came down from heaven and infused himself into the womb of the Virgin, and she and Joseph traveled by walking or donkey or some way from northern Galilee down to the little town about 15 miles from Jerusalem where they kept sheep and raised wheat for bread, place called Bethlehem. And there in Bethlehem, they found that everybody else was there and everybody else was moving around and they had totally filled up the town. There was no room. They hadn't had an inn, but there was no room to live in it because everybody was already there. And the innkeeper had only one solution. He said, well, I've got a barn out here in a cave and it's got hay in it and maybe you all can bed down in the hay for the night till we can do better. Well, that night Mary and Joseph went out and they laid down in the hay, and sometime in the night the pains hit Mary and she went into labor, and sometime before morning in the dark of that Judean night there was a little baby born. And my friend, when he came from the womb of the Virgin, he came kicking and squalling like any other baby. He came covered with afterbirth and blood, and he came and had to be caught in the hands of Mary and Joseph, had to have the umbilicus cut and fixed, and had to be put to his mother's breast, my friend, that he could nurse like any other baby. And you know what? That night, in the still, in the darkness of that night, my friend, and in the quietness of that barn with the hay and the animals all around, the Savior of the world, the God of the universe, came down and lived as a human baby. Yes. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and she laid him in a manger. And you say, oh boy, we got to tell everybody. Well, they got their birth announcements out right away. God didn't waste not a second. My son has been born into the world. For earthly fathers are still, they go around strutting their stuff with their chest out and passing out cigars and candy bars and saying, I had a son last night. I had a son. Never mind what the wife went through. They go around saying, I had a son last night. I had a son last night. How wonderful it is. Let me tell you something. The God of the universe was proud when the Holy Ghost came down to Mary and infused the divine Godhead into the womb of the Virgin. The Old Testament records that and said, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Oh, my friend, not many men know the very moment, the very second when they father a child, but the great God of the universe knew the very instant that the Holy Ghost came down, my friend, and came into the womb of the Virgin Mary and brought forth her son. My friend, he knew that instant in Nazareth when that happened, and he was there, my friend, to watch him come into the world. And you say, God wanted to tell somebody that his child had been born. Yes, he did. God was proud. He was so proud of the plan that he had to save mankind. man had sinned and come short of the glory of God. He'd done despicable and awful things. He'd had wars. He had committed murder and rape and mayhem all over the earth. And God loved man so much, he said, I've got to redeem him from that. I've got to bring him from that. And I have a plan. A plan I had from the beginning of eternity. And that plan is to make myself one with man and to forgive him of his sins. And God came through that baby, my friend. And when he went to announce it, you say, well, he went up to the king of Jerusalem and told King Herod that his son was been born. My friend, King Herod didn't deserve God's spit, as mean and ugly and bad as he was. And God didn't tell King Herod anything. You say, surely he went to the priest. Why, that pompous old goat up there walking around with his bells tinkling on his clothes and pretending to be so close to God wasn't nothing but a hypocrite. And God never said a thing to him about it. You say, well, surely he told it to the people of Jerusalem. Well, I know those people were so wound up in their worldly religion and all the stuff that they were doing in the world that he didn't pay 5 cents a time to them. And you say, well, who in the world did he announce it to then? Well, first of all, he announced it to some Gentiles, some people that they wouldn't have even spoke to because they were Gentiles. Oh, we sing, we three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts, we traveled afar. My friend, but I want you to know if those men, those three Gentile men, if there were three, if there were 23, if there were 103, I don't know and you don't know, but there were many of those wise men that came together and they were Gentiles. They were not Jews. They were uncircumcised and outside of the pale of Israel, and they were looked down on. Jews said they were dogs. Scholars of the rabbis said they were dogs and said God was doing nothing with Gentiles but to make fodder to burn in hell. And oh, my friend, how they looked down on them. But somewhere over in the East Country, in what is now the country of Iraq or Afghanistan, God Almighty came into the air and he created a new light. Somebody said, oh, it was the conjunction of three planets that came together and made it look spectacular. And that did happen that year. But my friend, those planets have never moved down to earth and stood over one house in one place, but there was a divine light that came from heaven, and it was revealed unto those Gentile men that everybody in Jerusalem would have looked down on, and they came from afar bearing gifts of gold and myrrh and frankincense, and they bowed down and worshiped him because they knew this was a royal birth. They knew this was a royal birth. My friend, it took them 2 years or so to get there. They had to travel across the land and through the rivers and through all the dangers they came. But that night, my friend, that he was born, God made a personal appearance and announcement that night outside of Jerusalem, about 15 miles in that little town of Bethlehem where Jesus was born in that stable, my friend, that night. There were some shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night. We got these religious spectacles that are rose-tinted that we wear. And we look at those shepherds and we think about, oh, bless their hearts. And one of my favorite pictures is Christ carrying a sheep in his arms and all the other sheep around him. That's why it's in that picture up there that you see sometimes. And then, my friend, these shepherds were out there. And as we look at the shepherds, we say, oh, isn't that wonderful? Jesus is the good shepherd, the chief shepherd of the sheep and all of that. And isn't it wonderful what God has done? And how wonderful these shepherds were. My friend, they wouldn't have spit on these shepherds in Jerusalem. Do you realize that their job was 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Do you realize they could not go to the temple in Jerusalem because they were unclean? Do you realize that those sheep that they were keeping in Bethlehem more than likely were the sheep that the high priest had commissioned them to keep, and they were for the sacrifices at the feast of Passover, so that there would be enough animals for the sacrifices? My friend, those shepherds were out there, they were dirty. You see, the Jews were fanatically clean, particularly the Pharisees, and they had water pots everywhere. Their feet had to be washed, their hands had to be washed so many times, you'd have thought they were gonna do neurosurgery or something. They had so many times they had to wash their hands, and so many times they had to wash their feet, and so much that they had to do, my friend. But these shepherds could not do that because they were out in the field with the shepherds keeping watch by night. They didn't sleep all night. They took turns sleeping, and somebody stayed awake to watch, and somebody became a door to the sheepfold and laid down. You see the way the sheepfold was made? It was made like this. And in this place, the shepherd lay. And if a sheep got out and went astray, he had to go over top of the shepherd to do it. And if the wolf or the thief got in, he had to go over top of the shepherd to get in. But you see, the sheep could sleep because the shepherd lay there with his rod and his staff, and he comforted them with it, my friend. You say, oh, that's wonderful. Yes, my friend, but they smelled bad. You see, they didn't have any deodorant this morning when they woke up in the shepherd's field. They didn't have any water much to wash in, unless it was just cold water that was there. They didn't have any soap to wash in because there wasn't any. And they never got to take a time off and go to the Motel 8 and clean up before they went. You see, my friends, what happened to those shepherds was they were the lowest of society. Everybody in Jerusalem looked down on them. All the religious people looked down on them because they couldn't keep all the religious stuff that they wanted them to do. And those shepherds sitting out there in the cold of the night around a campfire, looking into the starlit heaven of above and wondering about the greatness of God, suddenly were set upon when a man from heaven came and stood between heaven and earth and said, behold, I bring unto you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For you shall find this day a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And if you go, you'll see the babe and his mother. And with him came the whole host of heaven. And they began to sing, and they began to rejoice, and they began to say the things of God. And they began to talk about the peace and the goodwill that had come to men. You say, what peace? The peace that God brings because he's not at war with man anymore. My friend, God did revealed it to Gentiles. And God made the announcement of the birth of his son to shepherds that nobody else cared about and nobody else wanted, only the sheep they had. God had spoken to an old man named Zacharias and his wife, namely Elizabeth, that they would have a baby, John the Baptist, who would be a witness of Christ's coming. He had spoke to an old lady named Anna, who was in her 90s and lived in the temple and prophesied. And he had spoke to an old man named Simeon, who lived just to praise God and who heard from heaven. And God said that when you see the Lord's Christ, then you can depart, but you won't die until you do see him. And when he took that little baby from Mary's arms in his hands, and he raised that little baby up to heaven with its blood-stained place where they had circumcised him, the blood that would one day spill down the old rugged cross. And he held that little baby up before God, and he said, God, I go to heaven in peace now because I have seen the Lord's Christ. My friend, you say, who did God send him? Message to whom did God talk to? I'll tell you, my friend, to shepherds that nobody else would speak to, and to Gentiles that nobody else cared about, and to old people that everybody else had forgot about. But God spoke to them. God didn't tell the king or the innkeeper. God didn't tell the priest or the scribes. God didn't tell the Roman emperor or the generals of the Roman army. But my friend, to the poor, and to the dejected, and to the lost, and to the undone, the good news came from heaven. You can be saved. God has sent his son into the world to save the world. And my friend, that's the good news today. That's why we call it God's spell. Good news. Good news, my friend. Pat Boone used to sing a song that said, great good news. My brothers and sisters, the good news today is that Jesus Christ is born. So go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. And my friend, he has been born both Lord and Christ. He has been born God and man. He has been born, my friend, with all the powers of eternity and all of the limitations of humanity. What a great God he is. Would you give God a hand clap of praise for the perfect plan of salvation? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you stand, my friends? Would you stand tonight, today? And would you let your mind travel across the ages and back through time? that if you could have been there. Oh, I don't know how much Mary did know. I know what she heard, and I know what she saw. But you know, there came a time, even in Mary's life, that she stood beside her son who was preaching with his brothers and sisters. Oh yes, Mary was not a virgin all her life. She was a virgin when Jesus was born, but after that she had boys and girls. Jesus had brothers and sisters. Read the book. You say, well, how can you research all that? Oh, you don't have to go to the library or to the internet or anything. Go to the Bible. And it says so right there, my friend. All you have to do is look within the pages of the book, and the answers are there. Amen?
Amen.
All right, Father, we pray you'll bless the words of this message to this people today. And we pray the Holy Spirit of God will bless these people. And Lord, bless them this week as they go through the week. Let the Spirit of Jesus be with them and touch them and direct them in all their ways. These favors, our Father, and blessings, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.